שלום, אנחנו לומדים את מאמר החירות של בעל הסולם. בספר כתבי בעל הסולם אנחנו...
We're learning the article of freedom from Kabbalah for the student. Page 385, the mind's control over the body. You can ask questions on kab.tv. Article Freedom of Choice, Kabbalah for the Student, page 385, The Mind's Control Over the Body.
We went over a large part of the article, and eventually we see that it all depends on the environment. That's a person's free choice. And also, is he really free? Because the Creator brings a person to the good fortune, tells him, take this, and if he doesn't, then he'll have to learn the hard way. If he does want it, he'll learn in the good way. Where is his choice? The extent to which he is integrated in the environment, and the extent to which the environment controls him, and can he take the environment into consideration? Does he have the mind to do it? There are people that simply can't understand what the environment is, what is demanded of them. They're in the group for 10 years, and everything simply goes into one ear and comes out the other. It doesn't really penetrate the heart. So where's the free choice here? Is it free for everyone, or is it equal for everyone? We see that people, there are some people that easily go in, they hug each other, and really, that's something that I have from nature. And others, you know, they're really closed, don't touch me, move away, they don't understand anything, like we heard from our reader today, and so on and so forth. So, and also the title confuses me, the mind's control over the body. We learned that the mind serves the desire. The body is probably the desire, right? So the mind, it's not that it controls the desire, it carries out what the desire wants. Why is it that it suddenly says that the mind doesn't control the desire? So let's see. There are many things that are still unclear to us. Let's hope that we'll scrutinize them. Go ahead.
Page 385, Kabbalah for the Student, The Mind's Control Over the Body. Article of Freedom. Some external contemporary sages, after contemplating the above matter and seeing how man's mind is but a fruit that grows out of the events of life, concluded that the mind has no control whatsoever over the body, but only life's events imprinted in the physical tendons of the brain control and activate man, and a man's mind is like a mirror reflecting the shapes before it. And although the mirror is the carrier of these shapes, it cannot activate or move the shapes reflected in it. So is the mind. Although life's events, in all their discernments of cause and effect, are seen and recognized by the mind is nonetheless utterly incapable of controlling the body, to bring it into motion, meaning to bring it closer to the good or remove it from the bad. This is because the spiritual and the physical are completely remote from one another, and there is no intermediary tool between them to enable the spiritual mind to activate and operate the corporeal body, as has been discussed at length. But where they are smart, they disrupt. Man's imagination uses the mind just as the microscope serves the eye. Without the microscope, he would not see anything harmful due to its smallness. But once he has seen the harmful being through the microscope, man distances himself from the noxious factor. Thus, it is the microscope that brings man to distance himself from the harm, and not the sense, for the sense did not detect the noxious factor. And to that extent, the mind fully controls man's body to avert it from bad and bring it near the good. Thus, in all the places where the attribute of the body fails to recognize the beneficial or the detrimental, it needs only the mind's wit. Furthermore, since man knows his mind, which is a true conclusion from life's experiences, he can therefore receive knowledge and understanding from a trusted person and take it as law, although his life's events have not yet revealed these concepts to him. It is like a person who asks the advice of a doctor and obeys him, even though he understands nothing with his own mind. Thus, one uses the mind of others no less than one uses one's own. As we have clarified above, there are two ways for providence to make sure certain that man achieves the good final goal. A. The path of pain. B. The path of Torah. All the clarity in the path of Torah stems from that. For these clear conceptions that were revealed and recognized after a long chain of events in the lives of the prophets and the men of God, there comes a man who fully utilizes them and benefits from them as though these concepts were events of his own life. Thus, you see that one is exempted from all the ordeals one must experience before he can develop that clear mind by himself. Thus, one saves both time and pain. It can be compared to a sick man who does not wish to obey the doctor's orders before he understands himself how that advice would cure him, and therefore he begins to study medicine. He could die of his illness before he learns medicine. So is the path of pain versus the path of Torah. One who does not believe the concepts that the Torah and prophecy advise him to accept without self-understanding must come to these conceptions by himself by following the chain of cause and effect from life's events. These are experiences that greatly rush and can develop the sense of recognition of evil in them, as we've seen, without one's choice. But because of one's effort to acquire a good environment, which leads to these thoughts and actions.
Questions?
No.
Well,
so what is the role of the mind? What is it, an advisor? You don't have to listen to it. Or I didn't understand.
Let's rephrase that. To have free choice of whether to listen or not to listen to the brain. What do you mean by, will I listen or won't I? As if you determine anything. Any other questions?
Even without understanding, is there freedom of choice in any way? then how can you tell yourself, even intellectually, that there is none else besides Him? Because if you hear that in some form you do have choice.
Choice comes in order to reveal that there is none else besides Him. Choice isn't about doing what I feel like, because to begin with, I don't do what I feel like. How can I know what do I feel like doing? Where does it come from? Who controls and manages me that I like this and I don't like that? Who controls me? I don't know. Therefore, there's no such question. The question is that there is a goal, and regarding that question, there's free choice. Regarding that goal, there's free choice. How free is it? Really, this is something that we have to scrutinize. And I have to decide whether I'm against it or for it. You don't understand the question.
So what is the choice?
The choice is to scrutinize that there's none else besides Him.
So if I determine that there is none else besides Him or not?
Yeah. It's not that you determine. You can't determine. You have to discover that. In all your kilim. And the choice is between the path of pain and the path of Torah. That you agree, you disagree. How do you manage yourself in this respect?
So how to agree?
I don't know. You have to listen a bit. You simply have to hear, not yourself, but what it says in the books. Your problem is that before you open the book, you disagree with what it says. You have to relate to the book as though it's the truth. What I'm reading is the truth. But I disagree. I don't want to agree with it. I'm told that I have to do this and that. I disagree. Erase that. You should come from the point of, I agree with what it says, and then I start reading what it says in the book. Somewhat, at least. And after that, you can criticize. But if, to begin with, you don't want to accept what it says in the book, all of your complaints are about, I don't want it, so there's nothing to talk about.
Of course I want to agree with it. What I don't understand...
So I'm telling you, how can you agree? First of all, I agree with what it says, that this is the truth.
But how to do it above your feeling of pain, of suffering?
Therefore, on purpose, you're given such a feeling, and the mind that you have, and your nature, and so on, that you disagreed was given to you on purpose, so that above this, you'll rise above it, read it, accept it, and gradually see how with your mind, with your persistence, with your stubbornness and everything else, you'll gradually agree.
So, can you agree above your feeling?
Immediately, it is impossible. Only barely, as a person works on himself, acknowledges his own nature, that he really doesn't want it, and then gradually, as he goes against his own nature, without breaking it, but with understanding and listening to his evil inclination and everything, he overcomes it. He goes with it, against it, and then he understands creation.
And meanwhile, do you need to agree or to accept? To accept the suffering?
If you don't accept it, then you won't know what it says. You hear only yourself. This is what I'm trying to explain to you for the past month or years. How long are you here?
I'm trying.
No, not in here. Here in Neberuch.
Years.
And what changed since then? Not much. Because I'm all the time trying to explain to you. I'm really, I, I'm, I regret it with you. I know that you're suffering, but you have to accept these things, what is written, with your eyes shut for a short period of time.
I'm asking how to do it.
Simple. What he says, I agree. Say that to yourself.
But it's words. These are just words.
True. It's words. You're right. It's words. I agree with what it says. I agree with what it says. I agree with what it says. Why? Because he's smarter than I am. Because he's smarter than I am. He's smarter than I am. That's it. At least you'll know what it says, because otherwise you erase it from your mind. It doesn't enter your ear or your mind. You don't know what it says in the book, but you're saying, but, after every sentence, you're saying, but, how, I can't, this, that. This isn't the way to study. You have to integrate with these materials, and then gradually, through very specific certain work, will you be able to use your rejection, your ego, your disagreement in order to understand it more deeply. Otherwise, you can't feel it. And this won't help either. This won't help either. But it should be in your archive, and from time to time, these words will surface, and you'll hear what you'll hear. What can we do? We have to accept these things, as we shall do, and we shall hear. We have no choice. First of all, do until you start hearing, and faith above reason. And you come to that through actions. Okay, the freedom of the individual.
The freedom of the individual. Now we have come to a thorough and accurate understanding of the freedom of the individual. However, that relates only to the first factor, the source, which is the first substance of every person, meaning all the characteristics we inherit from our forefathers and by which we differ from each other. This is because, even when thousands of people share the same environment in such a way that the other three factors affect all of them equally, you will still not find two people who share the same attribute. This is because each of them has his or her own unique source. This is like the source of wheat. Although it changes a great deal by the three remaining factors, it still retains the preliminary shape of wheat and will never take on the form of another species.
Suppose Oren Levy, he has sons. How different are they?
Very much.
Very different, but they all came from you. So how is that possible then? There are many questions about this. How humanity multiplies, and then through wars and other things, it shrinks back. What does the matzah mean? What exactly is this matzah, the source? How does it cascade from the root and splits, and still remains as an individual, personal part for everyone? All the rest doesn't. Where can we see this on the friends? How are we becoming similar? How can we connect? Where can we, where can't we? In our source, we probably can't, because you're wheat, and he's buckwheat, and he's parsley, and he's something else. But where do we connect? In all the rest. And all the in the three other parameters, we can connect. We do. Moshe.
I too have been hearing for a few years the same thing. And it's already a border of pain. Also to hear the pain of the friend and the pain of the opera one. We also have the Europe Congress now. Instead of now coming in an attempt to change something, in an external form, I don't even know the words, but from the internal form, how to help, how to lead to the desired change.
Explain.
Okay, more focused. Each one is different, but everyone has to reach the same state of care, concern.
If we take from the same environment, then besides the source, we unite all the three other factors.
Now we have an example, which is a clear example to everyone, and it's hard to agree to it. On the other hand, you see how the upper one wants to influence and can't. We have the same example with the Europe Congress, that it's not Europe, it's Europe in me. So how, instead of trying to take over with my own understanding, and how can I make it an internal change? How can I come tomorrow to the tent and see the perfect Aaron? How can we help him?
We can't do that yet. Theoretically, you can talk about it, that it's the Aaron inside of you, outside of you, but these are all... But it's all talk. We have to keep working, we have to continue working on the reforming light. And he says that there's suffering, not suffering, but that we have no choice. We'll have to experience strong pressure, if not blows, not to call it blows, but strong pressure, so that from that we will be able to achieve this new perception. It's impossible to get there without the will to receive, making room for the will to bestow. We see it from experience, from our experience, what each of us went through. Then, wherever you got a blow, there one's mind starts expanding, his emotions start growing, and he starts feeling a new reality in that place. But where he gets a blow, the will to receive is meant for that. Now the question is, to what extent can we go through these changes in the will to receive for them to be quick, and for us to bear them? There has to be suffering, but the suffering that we feel in our mind, the feeling that the suffering that we feel in our emotions, in our feelings, how do we go through that quickly? So he says, wise is he who foresees the future, who studies from the books, from the friends, but still, there has to be a sense of sorrow. Yeah.
So wherever I open my eyes, I see imperfections. I see Europe not perfect. I see everywhere.
Yeah.
So what is this work that from what I see to bring it to the desired state? What does it mean after the Congress to see a perfect Europe or a perfect Congress in Europe, and I don't change, nor the friend, nor nothing?
You change yourself. Anyone who sees flaws in others, it's because of his own flaws. What is there to add here? I don't know. You're mixing these two things together. Either I'm in reward and punishment, or I'm in eternal providence. I can't connect these two degrees, either this or that. I'm still in the imaginary world, and my heart and mind are made, formatted according to this reality. And to start putting this program that now controls me into another reality, this I can't do. I can't put data like none else besides him, the good that does good, the world of Ensof, that there was no shattering, it's only regarding me, that world exists, it's only the way I see things. My current program will not accept this data. It won't. What can I do? We have to reach states that will become clearer, closer, for us to make some kind of adaptation. We do it in the group when we work in the 10. This is exactly what we work on. That I am an individual persona, starting to feel the extent to which I'm coming closer to feel that I'm connected with them, exchanging the me for we. By that, I upgrade the program to the extent to which the 10 becomes as one. Then I start seeing that reality is also one. Suddenly, they were all divided, separated, plenty of them, hundreds of thousands of millions of refugees in reality. No, it's all one. Where did I perceive all of this? In the 10. And from that point on, the perception of the world becomes real. Let's hope that this is something that we will reach. But their realization is only in the 10. There, we shift into private providence, in short. That there's enod milvado, even though that, well, there are many words to say, but it'll only ruin everything. So, let's continue or what?
386, the general shape of the progenitor is never lost. We're on page 386. So it is that each source that had taken off the preliminary shape of the progenitor had taken on a new shape as a result of the three factors that were added to it and which change it significantly. The general shape of the progenitor still remains and will never assume the shape of another person who resembles him, just as oat will never resemble wheat. This is so because each and every source is in itself a long sequence of generations comprised of several hundred generations, and the source includes the conceptions of them all. However, they are not revealed in it in the same ways they appeared in the ancestors, that is, in the form of ideas, but only as abstract form. Therefore, they exist in him in the form of abstract forces called tendencies and instincts, without him knowing their reason or why he does what he does. Thus, there can never be two people with the same attribute.
Kach ze nimsar midor ledor,
Right, this is how it's passed on from one generation to the next, and only then can you add the three other factors to it. Yes, who was it? Yes, Alex.
Yes, respect to our work in connection. Mm-hmm. It's a question from Europe. Are we as Bnei Baruch responsible for the outcome in the physical world, depending on the work of our connection?
כאן, בני ברוך שכאן? בני ברוך שבאירופה, אני לא יודע, או בכלל?
בני ברוך in Europe or in general?
All together.
No.
Okay, and? Are we responsible? Of course we are. It's one body. It's one body that we think that we can only take care of ourselves here or there in Europe or in one of the countries in Europe. It's incorrect. It's really, how's that possible? We have to, but we do have this general European board.
If we are responsible for the physical outcome, let's say what happens in Europe, in the worst case, war in Europe.
Of course we're to blame, or to the contrary, that we succeed. Of course we cause it all. There is nothing in the body besides what happens in the head. I don't want to get into world wars and other things, but obviously if we study this, we'll see how it happens. Everything's in our hands. Okay, and?
That'll move on to the daily task from San Francisco.
Today we had Tins on duty, Petatikva 24, Rivadim, San Francisco, 1018, or 10 number 8, Russia, Kazan, Columbia Virtual. Daily task. Today, each 10 discusses how to reach the love of the Creator through the love of friends and come to the gathering of friends in a new state of connection. One more time. Today, each 10 discusses how to reach the love of the Creator through the love of friends and comes to the gathering of friends in a new state of connection.
תודה. ישיבת החברים העולמית הערב משעה 6:45. אנו
מאוד ישיבת חברים. This evening, 6:45 p.m. Israel time, you're all invited to join. Thank you to our viewers and have a good day.
על גג העולם. ערב ייחוד של קבוצות ישראל. כולכם מוזמנים.
The rooftop of the world. A unity event, Sunday 24th of June at 6 p.m. Israel time. We'll have a meal, the launching of the new website Kabbalah Media, a lesson, and a great time. Euro Congress. You're invited to join the Euro Congress in Italy, 27th to 29th of July. Details at eurocongress.info.
We will become together as one. We'll be forever connected. Всю силу любви хотим обрести, объединившись навеки.
ולא חשוב מה שקורה בחוץ, כי העיקר נמצא בינינו.
Cuando nos unimos juntos, nuestro amor gobernará.
Hey, hey,
de corazones unidos, la cava,
בכלי אותה משפחה אותה הרגשה מעל הפער שבינינו
The higher we go reaching our soul we will reveal that connection
не важно что там происходит вокруг а важна связь между друзьями
Ya un caparezca como un malestar, nuestra actitud controlará.